Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're going to make it. It may take time and hard work. You may become frustrated, and at times you'll feel like giving up. Sometimes you may even wonder if it is really worth it. But I have confidence in you, and I know you will make it, Amanda Pierce. Good morning to my listeners on this beautiful, beautiful, I guess we can almost say fall. It's getting nippy out. Morning. It's kind of nippy and damp here in Connecticut, but nonetheless, it is a blessing and it is just an amazing day to be alive. So I am excited to be on the broadcast with you again this morning. We have an amazing guest that is coming on at 11. And today's guest is just a true affirmation of how important relationships are. My guest that's coming on at 11 is Dr. Bessie Howes. Sure may come. And Dr. Bessie and I met quite a few years ago at the Power Networking Conference. I was in her class, and then I was personally introduced to her by my friend Dr. Emma Ituk out of D.C. And Dr. Sure may come and I, we maintain a friendship. We have not spoken a lot on the phone, and we have not seen each other for years, but we always keep each other in each other's hearts and keep focusing on the, you know, just the amazing work that she's doing. And I follow her on the web and see the amazing work she's doing here and in Africa. So she's coming on this morning to talk about her her new position at the Purdue University out there in Indianapolis. So in the meantime, until I get to her, I am going to be talking this morning about empowerment, because we hear a lot about empowerment, and I'm wondering whether or not we truly understand what it means to be empowered. And after we go, we discuss that, we are going to be talking about the 6 confidence building strategies that we can all use and benefit. There are a few things I want to ask you to do me a favor on. I would like for you to go to facebook.com/visionweekend. facebook.com/visionweekend. And here's what I want for you to do. I would love for you to like our fan page. That page is connected to the Vision Weekend Conference 2012 coming up March the 23rd through the 26th in New York City at the Broadway Millennium Hotel. They have a fabulous, fabulous Hudson Theater there. And that's where all our events will be taking place in the historic Hudson Theater. And I just love how God have a sense of humor because, last year, 2010, we did the conference for the first time and we were planning to do a traditional conference. However, because of certain situation and circumstances, we were not able to do that. However, I went ahead and I did a virtual conference. And people are so committed to the conference. I had Chandel Pitts, who came in from New York and Connecticut to do her part. Jennifer Sertle came down from Rochester, New York, to Southbury, Connecticut, to do her presentation virtually. We had Jesse LaCosta out in San Diego, Carlsbad, excuse me, who set some time aside and did a presentation. We had Ed Foxworth from Detroit, and Ed also did his presentation from Detroit. So I'm sharing that to tell you something, that I have found out that when we are committed and stay true to the call, things always work out. Just last night, I was praying with my friend Sue from Carlsbad, and we were talking about the conference and how it's moving along and so on and so forth. And as a prior partner, I shared with her what the platform for the conference looks like. And immediately, Sue got so excited, and I couldn't imagine why. And she said to me, "Daphne, do you remember last year you set the time and you sanctified the time to God? So, honey, He is always going to be working in your favor." I said, "Sue, I forgot about me sanctifying the time." And it is such an affirmation for me that once you do what you have to do towards your call and the things that you are created to do, God honors. He honors His promise to us. And He is always faithful. So again, I want to tell you the date for the Vision Transformation Revolution Conference will be March the 23rd through the 26th in New York City. And you're probably asking, who is this conference for? The conference is for any human being who honestly and truly is sick and tired of being sick and tired. They are someone who is looking for more. They are entrepreneurs. They are professionals. They are business people. They are college students. They are wives, fathers, aunts, uncles, mothers, grandmothers, community activists, community leaders, mentors, coaches, counselors. Anyone who is stuck and think that there is no way I can get unstuck, I tell you, the Vision Transformation Revolution Conference is for you. And you need to set time aside to be there. We have some of the world's greatest transformation teachers, coaches, and leaders on the platform. And they are doing that because they believe in the vision which God gave me, and they want to be there to help it become into fruition. So again, the date is March the 23rd through the 26th. And I sent the speaker's contract out last night. And as soon as they come back, then we are going to launch the list of names of the speakers. And then our goal is to, in 2 weeks, to be able to go live with the website. So good morning, Vanna. Just type and let me know if you are hearing me. So I want to welcome Miss Vanna XK to the show. And we're just going to go along until Dr. House Sherman come gets on. So I thankful, my darling, that you're I'm thankful that your computer is running, up and running. So I'm going to be talking about empowerment and confidence building strategies. We are going to do that until Dr. Bessie gets here. So again, I am just so thankful. I also want to remind you to mark the show favorite. If you're listening on archive, which I know lots of people are doing, I want to ask you to please mark the show favorite. This way, you will be always informed of who is on the show and the things we are doing. So you will get a tweet from me or from the people who are helping me with the show, and you can be here to listen to us. So I look forward to having more people on when Dr. Bessie gets here. But I want to also ask you if you would share the link with your contacts and let them come on the show and listen. I have been told that this show is transforming lives. So send people there, let them join up and become part of the movement that we are doing here. So I am going to start with empowerment, and then I am going to go into talking about the confidence building strategies. So what is empowerment? And we hear a lot of people using it, and it has kind of become a buzzword in our community, and as a matter of fact, globally. What is empowerment? Empowerment means I want people to be empowered. On the other hand, I might think it means I want to be empowered in my job. So either way, it depends on who is using the word. If your boss or supervisor is saying, I want my people to be empowered, it's rightfully so. And then we can ask the question, in what area would you like them to be empowered? And then, when we want to be empowered as an individual, it means that you will go above and beyond the training, the courses, the resources, the information that you get on the job. You will go above and beyond that, and you will invest in you. You may ask me, Daphne, invest how? I'm not trading on the stock market. I'm not doing any of that. I tell you, the kind of investment that I'm referring to now is much more valuable than the stock market. The investment I am talking about is investing in your intellectual capital. And it simply means once we invest in our intellectual capital, no one can rob us from that or take it away from us. It becomes authentically you, who you are. But when you think of wanting to empower someone, or you want to be empowered, I want to welcome guest 375. Both of these will mean something completely different when you use the empowerment word. The important thing is that you must understand what it is that you are looking for. Be more proactive of what it is that you mean about your empowerment. As a matter of fact, from a manager's point of view, it usually means they want their staff to be able to take more action, make more decisions, become more creative, and not only depending on them, management, to say everything. Because as a matter of fact, the staff that are hands-on, a lot of times will know more about what is needed in the organization versus the managers. They don't normally know everything. When I work with companies or nonprofits or corporation, I always tell them, when you want to know everything that is happening in the organization, take the custodian out to lunch, or the janitor. Take them out to lunch or to dinner, and you will hear everything that is happening in every department and on every floor, because they are, of course, the only person who goes everywhere. Empowerment also means to take increased responsibilities on your job as well as in your life. Empowerment also means bring solutions, not problems. And that one, I think, goes well for the employee. Because a lot of times, the only time people head to the manager or the supervisor's office is when they have problems. However, you ought to also go to the manager's office when there is something positive that is happening. And when you see you have an idea that you think will bring the company or your department to the next level. That's what empowered employees do. They do not sit around and complain about who is getting the raise and who is going to lunch with who, and no. They sit around and they brainstorm to find out how can we improve our department. And it's not that you want to be competitive, but you want to excel. And you know, there's a saying that we attract who we are. When you are empowered, the people around you, your coworkers, are going to be empowered too, because they watch you, what you're doing, and they become empowered. Now, when you look on the word empowered, when you, as an employee, use the word empowered, to you, it normally means you give more of who you are. You feel committed to what you are doing. Left alone to sort things out on your own, you don't always want to be micromanaged. You want to have additional responsibilities. You want to say, well, you don't got to tell me that, you already told me. It's in the staff manual. You don't have to stand over me when you ask me to do it. So you don't want to be, as an empowered employee, you do not want to be micromanaged. An empowered employee enjoy making decisions. You know, it's amazing when you walk into a company. You can look right around by scanning the room, and you know the people who are working there because they enjoy the job, and you can see the ones that are working there because they are doing it for the money. When I do trainings for daycare centers and things like that, I'm always scanning the room, and the directors knows that of me, and they always ask, so, oh, Miss Daphne, what do you think about that? What do you think about this person? What do you think about that person? Are they here because they care about the children, or are they here because of XYZ? And it is always the truth, you know? You can look and know, because you cannot hide your true self. There are a few statements I have here that I want to read for you. So you heard me explain about, and this is just my take, it's not any research or anything, but this is my take on empowerment and the way that you choose to teach that with the people that I work with. On the surface, these two points of views that I share above, the ones that I broke down before and told you about, the manager's point of view or the boss's point of view versus the employee's point of view, you know, they look compatible. However, most times they are not compatible, because it depends on who the boss is and who the employee is. Empowerment is a dangerous thing, I feel. What if the other person doesn't want what I want? Are questions that people often ask. What if they go off on some wild tangent that wasn't in my original game plan? What if again? What if once they get empowered, they start doing things differently or they leave the organization? Well, to that I will say to you right here, like I say it when I am working with an individual group, if they leave you after they become empowered, it simply means that their season with you is over. And they need to move on to other places and to allow other people in the organization to move up and to grow. Because a lot of times when you sit in a position, you are stifling the growth of someone else. So know when your season is up and act accordingly. And for the bosses who are listening, do not get bent out of shape when they leave you. You just know that the other people are getting an opportunity to move up the ladder. When we work within business, we think about empowerment as being enlightened beyond times. It's going beyond the norm. It's going beyond the traditional ways of doing things. It goes beyond the right way of doing things, but looking at how to move things forward in at least with a least amount of fuss and difficulty. So it's ease. When you are empowered, you don't get anxiety attack and panic attack and all of that. You do everything with comfort and ease, and it is easy for you to do it. Because you're empowered, you understand who you are and to whom you belong, and you become a person that do not settle. You know that what you are doing is for the best, and you can do it with confidence. Even when others may tend to challenge you about what you're doing, and to tell you it has never been done before, you say, no, no, it doesn't matter. This is my opportunity to do this. When you try to squash something into the right way of doing things, or to produce, that have to follow a rigid structure, and you will get in trouble. So if you are an empowered person and you do not understand exactly how what you are doing is going to fit into the corporate outlook of things, then you consult with your supervisor or manager. You know, you go in the chain of command and you said, well, here is what I'm thinking and my suggestion is that. How do you see it fit into the big picture if in my department we do X, Y, and Z? Because sometimes it takes department by department to begin to grow. It's like a campaign. You find out that billing start doing something, then purchasing start doing something, then receptionist start doing something, and before you know it, it has snowballed throughout the organization and it is a massive growth. Good procedures are rigid adherences to any kind of process. Takes away creativity and innovation from individuals. To empower you, need to develop the creativity that people already have and perhaps aren't fully utilizing. You want to get people to a place where you feel able to suggest and offer things, to do more things rather than waiting to be told what to do. So if you are working with your staff, you know who has the ability to do what. And you can go, if you are in a close connection with them and you two as the supervisor or boss, you are not only turning up when there is a problem, then you will know who is responsible to take the baton and to move on. We also define it as active participation, involvement, accountability, encouragement, setting boundaries and expectation, listening to and acknowledging people's needs. It, in its simplest form, empowerment is treating people as adults, whatever your role is, no matter where they sit in the hierarchy of things. So that's part of my empowerment presentation that I do. It's a full day seminar, and I just give you a little tidbit of it here now on this radio show as I wait for my honored guest. And I'm going to take a little housekeeping, and I will be right back.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, and I want to remind you to please visit the Vision Weekend Conference by going to facebook.com/VisionWeekend. facebook.com/VisionWeekend. So we are looking to have your support there, and here on the show too, I want for you to mark the show favorite. Whether you're listening on archive or live, please mark the show favorite. There's a section there where you can leave a comment in the section that is designated for that, and you can see everything that we are doing. You will be kept continuously informed. All right. I want to share with you, all of you, you are familiar with Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. They are the daddies of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Well, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Les Hewitt did a book, The Power of Focus: How to Hit Your Business, Personal, and Financial Target with Absolute Certainty. And I want to share from that book this morning for you the 6 confidence-building strategies. And I give credit to Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, and Les Hewitt for this material. This is not my material, and I'm reading it verbatim from the book. Strategy number 1. Every day, remind yourself that you did things well. Instead of dwelling on what didn't work or the task you did not finish, focus on what you are accomplishing. Don't minimize these. Use your be alert daily habit to clarify this. Give yourself a mental pep talk at the beginning and end of the day. Coach yourself just like you would help someone else to overcome a challenge. That's number one. Number two, read inspiring biographies and autobiographies. We want to reinforce this one more time. Read books, articles, and magazines. Build a file of those stories that inspire you most. Record special TV documentaries. Listen to tapes or watch videos. Go to the movies. There are lots of great stories out there. Find out about people who started with nothing or who has devastating setbacks and still found a way to win. Remember, your capacity far exceeds your current level of performance. Life without challenges is an illusion. Accept the fact that you will have ups and downs just like everyone else. Your confidence grows when you actively take on the challenges of life. You won't win them all, but with the right attitude, you will win more than enough. Strategy number three, be thankful. No matter how bad your circumstances may be, there's probably someone worse off than you. If you doubt this, volunteer your time in an acute care burns ward at the Children's Hospital. Put things into perspective. Think of all the things and people you take for granted that are not available in other countries. All the things that are not available in other countries. Most of your problem will pale in comparison when you take a mental snapshot of all the benefits you enjoy each day. Is not that the truth? That is so true. Strategy number four, build excellence support around you. If you need a boost, refresh your memory by reviewing chapter 5. Well, that means you would need to buy the book to do that. Build excellent relationships. At the top of the hour, you heard me mention about my guest who is coming on at 11 and how we met at the FraserNet conference in Cleveland several years ago. And now this morning, she is going to be on the show. Strategy number five, push yourself to accomplish short-term goals. There is no greater way to build confidence than getting things done. Create an environment of accomplishments every week. Focus on your three most important targets. Every day, do something that moves you closer to finishing a project, closing a sale, or expanding a relationship. Don't allow yourself to be distracted or interrupted. By doing so, you will eliminate the feelings of guilt and failure. Take one small step at a time. Make sure your goals are realistic. Self-rejection can shatter your confidence. So, don't beat yourself up when everything doesn't come together as planned. Be flexible. And when others say no to you, don't take it personally. Accept the fact that you need to lose something before you gain something. We must lose before we win. Strategy number 6. Do something for yourself every week. Every week. Do a little something for yourself. Find a way to celebrate your weekly accomplishments. Don't you deserve it? If you said no, go back to step one and start all over again. A lot of times I want to welcome guest 439, and I want to let you know Dr. Shermakam will be on at 11. And when you listen to the archive, you will be able to utilize the information that I was teaching for the past 45 minutes on empowerment and self-confidence building strategies. And I thank you for coming on. The number to call into the show is 646-915-8166. And I want to ask the people in the chat room if any of what you heard me mention here, if it applies to you, and whether or not you think that this is something that can help you build what you're doing. The road to confidence is paved weekly with your victories. Learn to applaud them. Know that every day, every little thing that you do fits into the puzzle. It's like you have a puzzle and you begin to put it together. Because you know you will not complete the puzzle in one attempt, you put the puzzle on a table or a desk where you will not move it before it's completed. And this is the same thing that we need to do with what we're doing. As we place the pieces of the puzzle in place of our business, I want to welcome guest 448. As we place the pieces together, we are able to look at it and visualize what the complete thing is going to look like. We oftentimes go back and we look at the box that the puzzle came in. And we are getting so excited because we cannot wait to complete the puzzle. Well, it is the same thing as we go out there to accomplish our goals. We need to look at each accomplishment as a puzzle, as piece of the puzzle. And we can reflect, for those of us who have a vision board, we can reflect on it and see how close to completion we are. You know, this past Sunday, a friend of mine came home with me after church, and she was in my bedroom, and she looked on my wall, and she saw my map of the world, and she saw all my little stickies on it, and she said, "Are those all the places that you want to go?" And I said, "Yes, those are all the places that I'm asking God to put me to touch lives." And she looked at me and she said, "Do you realize you're already doing it? Because the radio show is already doing that." And I'm so thankful, and I still know that God will honor my request of putting me in each of those countries that I have on that map. And it's all over the world. So I tell you, you need to keep looking out for me when I'm going to be in your neck of the woods, because I want to meet you personally. I want to ask the people in the chat room, do you have any question about empowerment? If you have any question about empowerment, we have another 12 minutes before Dr. Hauser may come join us. We have 12 minutes, and what I want to do is to spend this 12 minutes answering any questions that you have about empowerment. You can either type it in the chat room and I will read it and then answer it, or feel free to call in 646-915-8166 and ask me your question about empowerment. And you can go ahead and type your question or dial in. I'm just going to take a commercial break to remind you that you can visit us on Facebook.com, Vision Weekend, and sign our fan page. And also, the Vision Transformation Revolution Conference is set for March 23rd to the 26th at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in New York City.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. So, you know, call us. Let me know. Do you guys have any question about empowerment? Yes, Miss Vanna, do you have any question you want to know about empowerment? You can sign it there. And I want to go ahead and promote the show again, because prayerfully, Dr. Shermakam should be calling in any minute. And I want to tell you that she is, I want to just tell you a little bit about this amazing, amazing lady. The school, IU School of Liberal Arts at the IUPUI, it's the Indiana University, Purdue University, out there in Indianapolis, Minneapolis, I think, has appointed Bessie House Shermakam, PhD, as the founding executive director of the School's Center for Global Entrepreneurship and Sustainable Development, Dean Williams Bloomsquet announced recently House Shermakam is a public scholar of African American Studies, Civic Engagement and Entrepreneurship, Professor of Political Science, and Professor of African Studies at IUPUI. The professor is an award-winning author, inventor, and entrepreneur, as well as an internationally recognized scholar and expert and advocate on entrepreneurship and economical development. So that is my guess, that she will be joining us at 11. And she is just an amazing, amazing, amazing woman. Bright, I want to thank you for being here. And just being me, I want to thank you for coming. We should have Dr. Shermakam on in just a few minutes. As you heard me just read there, but in the meantime, we have 8 minutes before she calls in. I want to ask the guys, Bright Williams, Just Being Me, Vanna XK, do you guys have any questions about empowerment that you would like me to answer while we wait on Dr. Shermakam? Oh, no, Bright, you are not late. We are just so thankful that you are here. You're such a supporter of the show, and I am just so happy. I want to remind you, Bright, that the link for the conference, the Vision Weekend Conference, there is a URL. You just go to facebook.com/ Vision Weekend, and you can go, it takes you directly to the the fan page. As a matter of fact, I am looking and getting it right now so I can add it to the site. And I'm just so excited about the Vision Weekend coming up in March in New York City. I tell you, a friend of mine said to me a couple weeks ago, when he got a sneak peek into who will be on the platform, he said there's going to be so much energy in that hotel that it is going to blow the fuse. And I trust me, I believe him, and I believe it is true. I just believe it, because there are some powerful speakers. Some of the world's greatest speakers are on the platform there for the Vision Weekend Conference. So I know that I will be seeing a lot of you there. I am putting the link in the chat room so that you can please share it with everybody, and you can go there and join up. So we are waiting on Dr. Shermakam to call in. So guys, do you all have any question about empowerment? Just type it in. Let me ask you. Well, let me do something differently. What does empowerment mean to you? When you use the word empowerment, what does it mean for you? I want you to either call in and tell me that, or you can type it in the chat room. What does empowerment mean to you? Are you an empowered individual? How do you know you are empowered? So We have 4 minutes, 5 minutes that we can use to discuss that. So go ahead. Type it in the chat room. I see Bright Williams is typing. And I just want to hear what your take is on there. Yes. So I want you to tell us, you know, for you guys in the chat room, do you consider yourself as someone who is empowered? And if your answer is yes, what does it mean to you to be empowered? Okay? You can choose to call in 646-915-8166, or you can just type it in the chat room and I will read it from there as I wait for Dr. Bessie House Shermakam to call in. She is such a phenomenal, phenomenal woman. She's just doing a lot around entrepreneurship, and I am so honored to call her friend. Guest 460, thank you for joining the show this morning. And I'm asking the question while I wait for Dr. Shermakam to call, to join on. I am asking for those people who are listening and want to call in to answer the question. Do you consider yourself empowered? If so, what is it about you that you know you are empowered? What does empowerment mean to you? And how do you identify other people who are empowered? So that's a question for the people in the chat room, the people who are listening live. And to call in, the number is 646-915-8166. Thanks, Bright William, guest 646, just being me, Vanna XK, for joining the show. So Bright says, most times here in Africa, people always believe you always must start a business with money. But I keep telling them it's not always like that. Educate us on this. Okay. Great insight, Bright. From personal experience, there is a lot of us around who never had the amount of money to start a business. However, we need to surround ourselves, be excited about the calling that God has created us for. Be excited about the business or the craft that you are looking to do. And there are always people out there who believe in what we are doing and will oftentimes invest money. Now, with that being said, there still might not be anyone who will invest in you. And if that's the case, you start on a smaller scale and you invest in you. You might, let's use cooking. You might want to start a restaurant, yet you don't have the money for all the fixtures and everything to do the restaurant. However, you know people that work in offices, you know churches, you know different places of business. Why don't you print a flyer about your food and what you have on the menu? And you could start cooking at home and delivering it to these different people at lunchtime. Or on the weekends, you might want to cook dinner and drop it off. But, you know, this is what empowerment is all about. You don't sit around and wait for others to invest in you. You invest in yourself. Yes, when you have an empowered staff and people working with it, makes so much difference. That's right, because an empowered staff, Bright, they are not coming to work for the paycheck. They are coming to work because they see themselves as part owner of the company. And an empowered staff will even think that I'm going to work whether they pay me or not. I got to be there. And I know the people who are in other countries may not connect with what I'm about to say now, but I know here in America, an empowered staff would be someone who, even when the snow is 8 and 10 feet up the front door, they will make a path to go through that snow to get to work. So it is so important when we know that, when we know that, oh, I think this is my guest hold, so I'll just hold on. I'll just play a music in the meantime. I think this is the guest calling in. So let me just play a music until I get... to play that music because the number that was calling on the landline instead of the studio line, I thought it was my guest. However, she's about to call in right now. So if they weren't an empowered person, okay, and I think we have Dr. Shermakam on the line. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 855. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
This is Dr. Bessie House Sharamakam. I'm calling.
Oh, hello, Dr. Bessie. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning to you. And it's a pleasure to be with you today via the radio waves.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was reading a little tidbit about you earlier on because I did the first hour of the show talking about empowerment and confidence building strategies, and put a little bit in of what relationship is all about, and just to fill that hour. So we were just getting into a very energetic discussion via the chat room. We have people on the line from Jamaica. I mean, in the chat room from Jamaica, I have people from Ghana. I don't know where Just Being Me is from, but we have someone on the phone. And remember, guys, the number to call in, because I'm not going to take any commercial break when I get into dialogue with Dr. Bessie House Sharamakam. We are going to go straight through, because I know she has a lot of valuable information to pass on. However, if you're in the chat room, you have a question for her, please feel free to call 646-915-8166. And on the phone, if you touch number one, it puts you in the queue to talk. So without any further delay, I want to just welcome my friend, Dr. Bessie House Sharamakam, to the show. Good morning.
Good morning to you and to all of your listeners.
Yes, it has been a number of years, and I was talking this morning about how important relationships are, because we have not seen each other in a quite number of years. But you are so cemented in my spirit. And mm-hmm. I follow you. I keep following you on the internet. And I see all the amazing work you're doing and being honored in Africa and everything. And I want to talk about all those things this morning. However, before I get into those intimate details, would you please take as much time as you need to just introduce yourself to my listeners?
Okay, my name is Dr. Bessie House Sharamakam. I'm here in Indianapolis, Indiana, so I send you greetings from Indiana. And I wear a number of hats over here. I am the Director of Africana Studies, where I work with our faculty and our students to build our curriculum studies for our students here on the campus, and helping our faculty to get tenure and promotion. We have a major in Africana Studies and also a minor, so we're increasing the number of majors and minors we have, and working with our students to help them to have good, productive careers in the future. I'm also the founding executive director of the Center for Global Entrepreneurship and Sustainable Development, and I will talk a little bit about what that center does in a few minutes. I'm also a public scholar here at the university, and also have a long history of creating four entrepreneurial centers in Ohio over the past 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. And you're also a published author. Would you like to mention some of the books that you have authored?
Yes, I have published 6 books, two of those books have been focused on African-American entrepreneurship in Ohio, Confronting the Odds, African-American Entrepreneurship in Cleveland, Ohio, Volumes 1 and 2. I'm also the author of a book on Kenyan women class development and gender inequality in Kenya. I also edited a book on African market women and economic power, looking at the role of women's micro-business enterprises in Africa. Also, had a newly published book on gender, sexuality, and mothering in Africa. And then my 6th book is coming out in 2 weeks, and that is on globalization and sustainable development in Africa. So I've been doing a lot of exciting work out there.
Yes, 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 you have, and congratulations. I remember when I met you, you had just published Against the Odds, Confronting the Odds, excuse me. And that was when I met you at that Power Networking conference in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm just so thankful for our friend Dr. E. Took, who introduced us, because I was in your class and I was so impressed by the way that you were presenting. I noticed that you are not an ordinary presenter. You were a presenter who wanted to empower your attendees. And I'm thankful to call you friend and to just admire the work that you are doing. I want to go back. I'm going to come back to Purdue University, but I want to go back to Cleveland a bit. You invested so much in that community. You had so much passion and vision for that community. At what stage of your career did you realize that I want to really devote and commit my time to putting a new look on entrepreneurship?
Well, that's a very good question, because for many people of color, we have an entrepreneurial instinct, but we're really not encouraged to become entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And in my own family background, I found out my grandfather was an entrepreneur. He was built homes. He also had a construction business. He built churches. And my mother also inherited some of his apartment buildings when she became an entrepreneur, renting out the apartments for profit. So mm-hmm. we do have that entrepreneurial background, but I really didn't know much about becoming an entrepreneur as a child, and it was really when I began to do research on entrepreneurship, when I interviewed other entrepreneurs, that I realized I have the entrepreneurial instinct and that I'm very entrepreneurial. So I would say it was kind of mid-career mm-hmm. when I began to have that transformation. As I did the research, I realized, well, I'm also an entrepreneur. And I began to use that information found in my research to create my own businesses and create these centers.
You know, it's interesting what you just shared, because prior to you coming on, the gentleman in the chat room who is from Ghana, when we were speaking about empowerment prior to you coming on, He said in Ghana, as a matter of fact, he said in Africa, a lot of people think if you want to start a business, you ought to have a lot of money. And he was thinking, sometimes you have the education, but you don't have the money. And what you should do from that point of view. And I said to him, there are times when those of us who have the vision will not have the support financially to do what we want to do. However, we must believe in what we want to do so much that we are willing to invest in ourselves. And I think that what I recall from your entrepreneurial centers is that you prep and prepare people to go out there and become entrepreneurs. And I would go out on the limb to say, you prepare them in a way that even if they are not getting the support from family members and community in the beginning, they have an alternative plan, right?
Oh, absolutely. We, based on the research findings, we were able to create business training curriculums mm-hmm. At the four centers that I created in Ohio. We had business instructors. We had coaches teaching people the art and the science behind entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about more than 400 people attending these classes. We had more than 51 companies that were created on our watch, so we are very happy about it. But we did encourage people to become entrepreneurs, to take charge of their own destiny, not waiting for others to give them resources, but to create their own. And
that's
so that, for many people of color, that involves a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been taught to be dependent on others for everything,
mm-hmm.
rather than to be independent and create things on our own. So that, mm-hmm. that was a major paradigm shift in the thinking
mm-hmm.
Process that we tried to evoke
mm-hmm.
And initiate over there in Ohio and even here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You had the gentleman from Ghana, he wrote in the chat room, he said, I've lived in 4 different African countries. I hate to see him stereotype like this, but he says they are. That's what they all think. They think the same thing. And, you know, people have to understand the importance of investing in you, because until you believe in you, don't expect somebody else to buy into what it is that you are doing. Dr. Bessie, as you have done your many researches over the years, what are some of the greatest challenges you have found that is hindering people from taking the entrepreneurial plunge?
Well, one of them is the point that you just made, lack of capital.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of capital has been a major deterrent in the past and is still a major deterrent right now for large-scale movement by people of color into business, because you really have to have financial capital
mm-hmm.
to launch your business and expand it over time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can get support from family, friends. Sometimes you can get some support from banks, financial lending institutions. Sometimes people use their own credit cards. They use their own savings. I mean, there are a variety of ways that people start their own entry into the world of entrepreneurship. But you got to have some capital there at some point to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Related to that is your own involvement and my involvement with the great George Fraser,
mm-hmm.
Who is the number one networking guru in the world.
That's right.
And part of that success pyramid is, or lack of success, is not having social capital networks, not having connections with people who do have power and resources.
Mm-hmm.
So George Fraser talks about the power of connecting yourself to others who
mm-hmm.
may have resources, who may have in-kind support that they can give to you. As George says, people like to help people they like.
That's right.
So exactly. By aligning yourself with people who have resources or power or connections, you then make it easier to move forward with your own agenda. And so I think that many people don't understand the power of making connections.
That's
the
right.
The power of connecting with others who can actually help you to take the ball across the finish line.
That's right. That's right. You know, I am working on the Vision Conference for next March. And last year, we started out to do the conference. And for different things happening, we did not do a traditional conference. We ended up doing a virtual conference. And then last night, I was speaking with a friend of mine in Carlsbad, California. And when I mentioned to her what the lineup of the platform looks like, she reminded me, she said, you remember last year when you sanctified the time during our prior time and you said to God, you gave me the vision, Lord, and I know you're going to see true. She said, Daphne, he has seen it true. And if I did not believe greatly in the vision that he gives me, the people who have now joined the platform to give birth to this event would not have joined it. So connecting the dots and knowing what it means to add value to others comes true for you every time. Don't always go to the table, think about what's in it for me. In other words, go there and say, here's what I've brought.
Well, you know, the spirituality of the African-American community, the black community, looms large also. the spiritual connection to a higher force, as you're saying, someone, something bigger than yourself. And sometimes we get discouraged in business or professional life because things aren't happening at the rate that we want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching one of the episodes of Alex Haley's Roots, you know, when he had the big miniseries. I was watching it again just a few days ago, and at the end of one segment, Alex Haley came out and he said, you know, God may not answer you when you call, but he's always on time.
That's right.
And I think that's the spiritual connection that people of color have had through slavery and moving out of slavery and into the modern period still is important, that belief that some higher power is in charge and can help us to achieve our goals. And I think that speaks to goal setting. You have your goals, and sometimes you feel like, why am I not moving forward at the rate that I want to move? But when you look back on it, things probably happen in the way that they should happen, at the time that they should happen. We just have to be patient.
That's right.
And keep working, keep striving, and one day, at the right time, it will come together. And I know I can speak from experience. When as soon as you begin to say, well, I'm going to stop trying, the next day you get what you've been striving to get. So it's not on your schedule. It's on the schedule of someone, something bigger than you. And you have to be exalted in the presence of God and the bigger spiritual connection. So I'm certainly in agreement with Alex Haley and also you about that.
Yes, and I just want to piggyback on what you just mentioned. I have found out over the years that those times when things aren't happening, when we want, at the pace we want, those are the times when we need to be learning lessons. There are valuable lessons there. And in the school of life, we do not decide when we graduate. Our Creator decides that. Because if there are lessons that we need to learn to go into what he wants us to do, there are lessons that we need to learn. And he's going to make sure we qualify before he graduates us. And I know that is real powerful. And the time to wait, people get very, very impatient. Very impatient.
Absolutely, absolutely, Daphne. And that goes back to your earlier question about obstacles, why people aren't succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
One is lack of determination.
Yes.
The inability to stay focused, keep moving forward in spite of obstacles that are placed in your way. So it's really a test run. How do you keep moving around those obstacles that are continuing to be put in front of you?
That's right.
We find that in my research, it's overwhelming. I interviewed hundreds of entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur myself, having both nonprofit and for-profit company. You find that those people who have done well are those that have persevered in spite of the odds, the many obstacles that were placed day in, day out, having a thick skin, staying positive, and keeping their momentum going. And so for the present time period, particularly our young people, they have to learn to stay focused, stay on the task, keep moving, as their grandparents and their great-grandparents did. So that the lack of determination is a factor that doesn't promote success for entrepreneurs or anyone else. Having a positive vision for the future, where are you going?
That's right.
Do you have a vision? Where do you want to be in 5 years? What is the vision you have for the company? Even having a business plan, taking you from stage one to two. These are some of the things I was talking about at the Power Networking Conference in Cleveland. And I do a lot in my speaking at various universities and colleges out there and moving the agenda forward. And the Center for Global Entrepreneurship and Sustainable Development that I'm operating here in Ohio is a global center. We are going to be traveling to Africa very soon.
You mean in Indianapolis?
I'm going to be going to Nigeria and possibly Kenya. We've been invited to come to work with some universities there to help provide business training to create jobs and businesses. So we're definitely going to be working in Africa to help people there to do some of the same things we've been doing here.
That's right. The people in Africa, there is a lot. They have wealth right there. They just need to know how to channel it to, because a lot of Americans are going over there and they are like depriving them of their wealth there. So it's good to know that the Globalization Center is willing to empower them to get their best.
We're going to be traveling. We're making some plans to determine when we can go there and, help build the entrepreneurial capacity, build businesses, and really it'll be an exciting period in our lives to really help develop the African continent.
Yes. I want to, we're going to come back to what you're doing out there. I want to have you mention a little bit about some of the honors that you have received.
Okay.
In Africa.
Yes. Well, my husband and I were given probably the supremest honor back in 2008 when we were both given 3 chieftaincy titles each in Nigeria. We received one title each from His Royal Majesty the King, His Royal Majesty Oba King Michael Adedetum Adamu Badebo, the Alake and Paramount Ruler of Egbaland. So we have now been given this chieftaincy title by the King himself, and the Queen was there. And we went through the ritual ceremonies. We went to the King's palace, and now we are chiefs. We are part of the King's inner circle of chiefs, and we do political advising to him. We go there, and we are really working with the King and Queen very well in Nigeria to improve the conditions of the people. So one of our chieftaincy titles was from the King. We also had 2 other chieftaincy titles in Casey, my husband's father's ancestral land, and also in Bakatati, where his mother was born. So we now have 3 chieftaincy titles each, and the chieftaincy titles are not given very lightly. You undergo a vetting process. You have to be nominated, and the criterion are very steep. They're looking for people who have high honor in their tradition, who
Wonderful.
Represent the best attributes of African society, people who have tried to help other people through humanitarian gestures, and people who are promoting the well-being of African society. So we were humbled, we were deeply humbled and honored to be in Africa for several weeks when we went through the various ceremonies. And the King and Queen came here to a conference I had in 2009, and the King himself was our keynote speaker.
Ew.
So we are in very close contact with the King and the Queen, and I hope to see them in the near future.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I am so appreciative that you took the time to just so eloquently lay out what that was all about, because we were talking not too long ago about the importance of adding value. And your appointment and your husband's appointment was not focused solely on the accolades that you went to the table with, but your commitment to mankind, your commitment to adding value and to empower them. And I know that you are there representing each and every one of us, regardless of where we are around the world. And I know that we are so proud of you getting that appointment. And knowing what I know about you and your darling husband, they could not have appointed 2 of the finest people. So, again, congratulations to both you and
Dr.
Shermaker.
Thank you so much. That's very kind. And we are deeply humbled. We are very humbled by the honor and the opportunity to serve Africa and humankind. We are very humbled.
Yes, so let's go back to the Center of Global Entrepreneurship. That's a new addition to the campus there at Purdue?
Yes, it's a new center, and I was appointed by our dean as the founding executive director, so we have been in operation for almost 1 year now.
Yes.
So we are very excited, and we are focusing on globalization, how globalization affects Africa and the African diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
We are also looking at creating sustainable businesses. We're helping African societies to go green, you know, that new slogan, going
yes.
green,
mm-hmm.
Creating green businesses, you know, taking biodegradable waste, cleaning it up, and helping people to get businesses out of that those products,
mm-hmm.
tires,
mm-hmm.
You know, recycling oil in automobiles,
mm-hmm.
and using it to build businesses that sell heating oil,
mm-hmm.
Really taking recycling tires and having people to establish tire companies. There are all kinds of things that you can make out of these waste products after it's cleaned up. So
mm-hmm.
we're now going to help people create a sustainable business, recycling facilities, recycling businesses, and also other kinds of businesses in Africa
mm-hmm.
by helping them to use more systematic business training strategies, things that work,
mm-hmm.
Rather than just doing it trial and error.
Right.
So we have a big agenda now to go to several countries in Africa. We've been invited to come and work with people, training them on our methods, our, you know, our business modules we've used here in America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And I don't know whether or not this will be happening, but for Americans who are listening and figure that they would want to partner with some people in Africa, is that on the drawing board at all? And if so, how do they get involved?
Well, we are the Center for Global Entrepreneurship and Sustainable Development. We are partnering with a center in San Francisco. It's called the Center for International Trade.
Oh.
And the director is Richard Soyombo. And one of the things that they do is to connect people here in America with investment opportunities in Africa. Like if you want to invest in companies or buy property or real estate. So
mm-hmm.
through our partnership with the Center for International Trade, they have a lot of activities connecting Americans to investment opportunities overseas.
Okay.
But so far, if individuals want to go with us to Africa to help create wealth and businesses, they are welcome to do that if they want to contact me through my center. I can give you my work number here.
Yes.
My number is 317-274-5027. 317-274-5027. You can give me a call or send me an email, and we can discuss partnering, or you can collaborate with us on some of the missions and activities we have.
Okay.
Scheduled for future.
Okay, I'm going to check with one person was on the line and they hung up. But I want to check with this person to see if they have a question. Caller, your first three digits are 373. Do you have a question? Okay, I guess not. Okay, so thank you, Dr. Bessie. The number to reach Dr. Bessie for those people who are on the archive, I think, is 1-317-274-5027. If you want to ask more questions about going with the delegation to Africa, and the gentleman in Ghana said they do a great job, meaning I guess he's thinking about your organization, that you guys do a great job in Africa. Now,
okay.
Would you, over the years, as we look back from Cleveland to Indiana, where you are now, would you like to share some of the success stories that the center has given birth to?
Absolutely. We have one of the entrepreneurs who took classes at the Entrepreneurial Academy of Cleveland. We had four centers. One was called the E-Academy of the Cleveland Empowerment Zone. One of those entrepreneurs has established a solar energy company, and
wow.
He was able to get several million dollars in credit. And he is now, my last conversation is that he has a contract with Albania to provide solar energy panels throughout the country. You know, as more countries are becoming more involved in doing things that are environmentally sound, solar energy is the wave of the present and future. And so his company is really right on the cutting edge here. And so I was delighted to find that he has a contract with the country of Albania to put
wonderful.
In solar panels throughout the country. We have
wonderful.
Another well, we have another entrepreneur who took classes at another center, the Center for the Study and Development of Minority Businesses at Kent State University when I was there, who has actually three companies, and his company is involved in, he has several patents to clean up biodegradable waste.
Mm.
And once he creates the biodegradable waste, then people can go in there and use those waste items to recycle them and use them for other purposes. So he has the patents, and he is doing very well. I think he has several contracts with the Environmental Protection Agency already, and is I have been talking to him about doing work with us in Africa. In the area of creating recyclable businesses and the green, going green.
Mm.
We also had entrepreneurs who developed construction companies. Some people were involved in real estate refurbishing, you know, buying out these
That's
old
right.
homes
yes.
mm-hmm. in the communities and tearing them up and rebuilding, refurbishing, renting them out, making apartment buildings and complexes to generate revenues. We had companies, cleaning companies, people going in, cleaning homes, cleaning business, you know, the commercial cleaning companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some people in financial services. We also had home health care
mm.
businesses, people going to the homes. Nowadays, with the people living longer, they may not be able to go to the hospital, so they go pick them up or go home to their homes and give them medications,
mm-hmm.
clean their bedrooms, give them medicines, and give them dinner or lunch. So we had a broad variety of people who had the entrepreneurial plunge.
Wonderful.
So we were very, very excited. And myself, I have a my company is Finders International, LLC, and I'm now trying to – I have an invention that I have been working with a patent attorney to get a patent for several years. And I'm now working with an entity in Ohio to help me to commercialize my invention and get it to the marketplace. So,
beautiful.
Well, we have, they're looking at over my business plan, and I'm meeting with them again to see how we can get some clients, some of the hotels and the casinos and other people to use my invention helps people to recover lost and stolen merchandise.
Oh.
So there are lots of company, you know, like hotels, casinos,
yes.
where this stuff is there.
Mm-hmm.
We will try to get contracts to connect these people to their belongings that they left behind.
Wonderful, beautiful. So please come back on this show and tell us all about that. And I would love to connect with some of those graduates from the entrepreneurial centers. Because this show on a Wednesday is focused to the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs. And I would love to have them on to share those. So if there's any way you can connect me with them, I would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I will be delighted, and I will give you a call sometime, and we will give you information on how to connect with those entrepreneurs.
Okay.
I want to thank you so much for inviting me to come. It's been a pleasure.
No.
You're just extraordinary.
We're not finished.
Okay.
We have more time. I want to ask you, everybody is going in a frenzy talking about the economy is this and the economy is that. How do you see entrepreneurship fitting into the recovery of what's happening around the world?
Well, I think I'll have to say, I'll have to repeat the words of Charles Dickens when he said, we are, with regard, and I'm going to use my interpretation with regard to entrepreneurship, I'm extending it, we are in the best of times and we are in the worst of times.
That's right.
So we have that inherent contradiction, because there's no doubt that with the weak economy we've experienced over the past few years, earlier under the Bush administration and now on through the administration of President Obama, we've seen a record number of business failures. And we've seen massive layoffs in some of the large multinational corporations. Sometimes they'll lay 3,000 or 4,000 workers off at one blow, at one time.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen stores close down. I am a member of the Bally Fitness Center. I kept going there, and the doors were closed, and I said, what's happening here? And then finally I got out and went in there. They moved everything out and didn't tell us anything, even though we pay for the contract.
Wow.
So a lot of these are silent closures where they don't even let the customers know they're going down.
Yes.
You have Borders Bookstore declared bankruptcy. So you have large businesses going under. And that is not that's not going to stop anytime soon.
That's right.
Because as more workers are laid off, they're losing their homes. Their savings are wiped out. You find the 401(k) accounts have been stolen by some CEO people. So you have a lot of fraud. And so when people don't have homes, they don't have buying power, they're not going to spend as much in terms of patronizing businesses. So businesses are not bringing in enough revenue to generate profit. So all of these things are very much linked. So, so the business picture is not great for newly emerging entrepreneurs, but nevertheless, it is the best of times in the sense that if you are interested in business, you should think now, what do I want to do? What business do I want to have? Because when things begin to pick up again, you're going to have really good sales, because there are lots of things that we're going to need. We still need dry cleaners. We need grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
We need copying companies. All of these kinds of services, we need restaurants, et cetera. So if you are interested, it is still a good time to start thinking about the idea, developing a business plan, and trying to develop a plan of action so that when this job bill that President Obama has out there in Congress is passed, it's going to be modified by the Republicans and the Democrats debating it. But I think something will be passed, and as more Americans are put to work, you're going to have people spending more.
That's
and the economy will gradually pick up. So I think that entrepreneurship is still a good way for minorities. Now, when you look in the African-American inner-city community, something they're not telling you is that many African-American men have unemployment hovering on 40% and higher.
Mm.
And this has been going on for years. Many companies are not hiring African-American men and workers.
Wow.
To the extent that they should. So the only option is for some of them to create their own businesses, hire their own employees.
Right.
So I'm very much interested in working nationally on this issue of business development for our community. So that's something we're going to do here in Indiana. We're partnering with local groups to create entrepreneurial training as well, even over here in Indiana and beyond.
You know, I am so satisfied with what you said, because a couple of months ago I was speaking with a very affluent entrepreneur, and he said to me, Daphne, do you realize that while we sit around here complaining about the economy and that the world is buying out America around us and from under us?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so rightful. It's the best of times and the worst of times, depending on where you're looking from. And he was saying, it's amazing. And what can we do to get our people to see that this is the time for them to do what they are supposed to do, which is, in short, the same thing you're doing. I mean, it's not good that people get laid off, but when you get laid off from a job, that's the time to do some what I call soul searching. What do I like to do that can put bread on my table? But I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think you're absolutely right. And also, the economy has been restructured very much in the past few decades. So it is not going to go back to the same pattern or shape that we had before.
Right.
We've had a lot of companies outsourcing to other regions where it's cheaper to produce goods. We have a lot of our manufacturing sector closed down. So some of those blue-collar jobs that we saw in the car automobile industry are never going to return again.
Mm.
And African Americans lost ground because a lot of the African American community members were employed in those automobile plants and those steel facilities. And because those are gone, some of those jobs are permanently gone, we are going to have to retool and rethink our own economic future. So people may want to go back and get training in kind of craft or trade. They may want to retool, go back to school.
That's
and
right.
And retool.
Reinventing.
Reinventing
who you are.
Yes. As George Fraser would say, the art of reinventing yourself.
That's right. That's right.
Not just staying static, but reinventing yourself.
Exactly. We got to be fresh. You know, you got to be fresh. You got to keep it fresh. The energy you sit down to complain about, you can, you know, go find a course and do something. You have a computer. You don't even have to leave your home. You can go to school online. You just got to want it bad enough. Well, I tell you. This conversation is so good. We never had enough time. If you're just joining us, you know I'm in conversation with Dr. Bessie House Shermakam, and she is the director of the Global Entrepreneurial Center out in Indiana at the Purdue University. And we have 12 minutes. My heavens, where has the time gone? So I want you to tweet this and tell your friends to listen to it if they are thinking about entrepreneurship at all. This is a conversation that they need to hear. Dr. Bessie, I want you to just summarize what you want to leave the listeners with today and tell them where they can pick your books up, please.
Well, Confronting the Odds, African American Entrepreneurship in Cleveland, Ohio is published by the Kent State University Press. So if you go to the Google Kent State University Press, you can order it directly from the press. I also can sell, I have some copies myself that I sell independently. You can contact me at 317-274-5027. The book that is Gender, Sexuality, and Mothering book is published by Africa World Press, so you can go to the Africa World Press website and order that. The book that's coming out in a few days on globalization and sustainable development in Africa is published by the University of Rochester Press, so you would have to order that directly from the University of Rochester Press on their website. My first book, Class Development and Gender Inequality in Kenya, was published by the, let me just find out who the publisher of that one. That was some years ago. Hold on a minute.
Yes.
That was the Edwin Mellon Press in New York, Edwin Mellon. And my second book on the African market, Women and Economic Power, was published by Greenwood Press. You can get you can go to the presses themselves, or sometimes you can get copies also on Amazon.com. And sometimes if you Google it, there are other publishing houses that you can also order these books through Borders, of course, has declared bankruptcy, but Barnes & Noble, you can also order them there. So there are multiple ways to get these exciting books.
And this is one investment that people need to do for themselves. So if I know we talk about a lot of things, but if you would like give us a little checklist, highlight what you want to leave the listeners with. If nothing else they remembered about what we talk about today, what you want them to pull out and put in their toolbox about what you said?
Well, I think that in spite of the need to have, you know, knowledge and education and training and mentors and all of that, I still think the most important attribute for success is psychological capital. I have when I met you, I was talking about the personality traits of successful entrepreneurs, the 10 traits, and I have done that on like a CD-ROM, but I haven't published it in book form yet, but I plan on it. But I would say that the most important type of capital is psychological capital. How do you? What do you think of yourself? Do you believe in yourself? Do you have high self-esteem? Because no matter how smart you think you are, there are always people who are going to try to beat you down. They're going to try to do things to destabilize you, and you're wondering, why is this happening to me? I'm trying to be a good citizen. I'm trying to help people. But there are people who are trying to always challenge what you're doing and bring you down. So unless you have the ability to stay focused and still stay positive and believe that you are doing the right thing and keep your positive energy up and your high your thoughts about what you're doing and who you are, you can be defeated. So you have to stay positive and keep giving yourself a positive spin. And that is the way I have survived across many states and many several campuses, moving forward, staying positive, believing in myself and what I'm trying to do. And I think that if you have that psychological capital, your competitors can slow you down, but they can never stop you.
That's right. And, that alone, even if you had just came on and said only what you have said just now, it would have worth the while to listen to. Because I know for me personally, for years, although I am such an advocate for psychological capital, I've never seen it above intellectual capital. But now I realize that so long as we put our psychological capital in number one position, everything else is going to be dependent on that. Thank you so much for that insight.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, absolutely. If you have strong psychological capital, you can get human capital. You can get financial capital, but it all starts in believing. If you don't believe you can achieve, you're not going to do it. So it starts with that positive thinking, and your attitude determines your altitude, as someone has said. Your attitude is so important. Staying focused, not complaining all the time, but saying, what can I do today? How can I further my goals every single day? Staying in forward motion. You're either moving forward or backward. You're not standing still. So you need to keep moving in a forward direction. So as you can see, I'm very excited about these things because I'm using them myself.
Exactly.
In my own life, in my own life.
Exactly. You know, people ask me all the time, every time we see you, you're so happy and you're so excited. I said, because I'm so excited about the journey I'm on. And, you know, there are times when the path gets rugged and the hills get steep. But I still brace myself and I look up and I give myself gratitude to come this far only by my faith. Only by my faith and by my belief in what God has called me to do.
Yes.
And I have found out over the years by me doing that, you know, they say we attract who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And by me doing that, I find myself always in the right company.
Yes. Yes, staying positive and keeping your mental part, your spiritual part balanced. And when you do that, you can achieve a lot of things.
That's
that
right.
You never dreamed of. And your own journey has been remarkable.
Yes.
And you have accomplished a great deal. And I have also been very much impressed and encouraged by a lot of the talent that you have and a lot of the accomplishments you've made. And
thank
I'm really gratified that we connected in the Cleveland area some years ago.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I tell you, we had a conversation. You took time after the class to invest your time in me. And you said some things to me at that first conference when we talked, and I think the second time when we got together, which propelled me to where I am today. And if nothing else, oh, we have a call. Let me see what the caller wants to say. It's the last 4 minutes, but that's okay.
Okay.
Good morning, Vanna. Do you want to say something to Dr. Bessie?
Yeah. Dr. Bessie, hi.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. Daphne wanted to say, it was like earlier we were in the chat room, and me and just being me, in the chat room, were talking about how we should be confident, and he was talking about how to step out and be yourself. You understand me? And she just came back earlier we were talking about empowerment and how we should just be confident. It's really good that she came back and just, you know, tighten all the loose ends in the conversation we had in the chat room. So thank you for being on the show today, Doc.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be out here. It's a pleasure to connect with you on the radio today. I'm enjoying it.
Yes. Today was really a good day. And
yes.
Hi, Brett. Brett was up in the conversation, and he wanted to talk about Vision Weekend. He wanted to come and everything. So it's a good movement, you know, what we're making now.
All right.
So,
thank you so much.
Later,
thank you.
And thank you all for being on the show.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Vanna, for calling all the way from Jamaica. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you. That's
wonderful. Wonderful. Isn't that a blessing that, you know, we can be where we are and we are still touching lives all over the world. This is just so amazing. We just got to be obedient and stay the course to what we are called to do. Dr. Bessie House, Sure Makeham, I want to thank you for your investment of time, not only in being here on the show, but also in being part of the vision that God has called me to do. I know this is your first time on your show, but this will not be the last time. Keep doing what you are doing, my sister, and I look forward to talking with you real soon.
Thank you so much, and it's been a pleasure being with you and your listeners today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. You have a blessed day. And for those of you who joined us this morning, the conversation, I want to thank you and encourage you to know that you are called for a purpose. You have a destiny. In destiny, just like blood. Very much for joining us this morning, and I'll see you guys Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Stay blessed.
Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
For showing me.